Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, learn why you should not hate the love.
Now here's the question I want you to consider. Why does the world hate Jesus? And why does the world hate those who follow after Jesus? Because that's exactly what Jesus said. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. So we want to look at that question. I want to give you two reasons why the world hates Jesus and those who follow Jesus. And then I want to give you the response that we need to have in light of the hatred. There is truth.
Standing up for the Lord won't always be popular for the Christian to do, but it is so critical that we stand for Him in these modern times where the world loves their sin more than they love the Savior. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today will help prepare our hearts to be a light in the darkness as we learn to boldly proclaim the truth in love. The lesson is from Pastor Jeff's 7-message series, The Truth in Love, which is also our thank you gift for supporting From His Heart this month, your gift of any amount. Simply go to fromhisheart.org for details. Now, though, open your Bible to John chapter 15. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to begin this revealing lesson entitled, Hating the Love.
When I was about 6 years old, I went to my grandmother's funeral, my great-grandmother. She was 100 when she passed away. And we had the funeral, and then we went to my cousin's house. This is in California, and went to my cousin's house, and there was a big luncheon, and people were around, family was around, lots of people I didn't know. And I remember as a six-year-old, it wasn't a lot of fun, you know, just being there, and nobody's really playing anything. It wasn't that kind of an event. And so I had a little toy car with me, a little matchbox car or whatever, and so I was trying to find something to do, something to play with, and I found that my cousins had a dog, and I had a dog, and so I thought, you know, my dog was very nice, like me. I thought all dogs are really nice and like kids. That's not the case. This was kind of a smaller dog, and so I went to pet the dog and to play with the dog and to love on the dog, and I was doing that for probably a minute or two before all of a sudden everything went black because he bit me. And when you get bitten as a six-year-old, it's pretty traumatic. And so I was, you know, the waterworks were going and I thought I was dying. And I thought to myself, well, what's the deal here? I'm just trying to show you love and affection, and this is how you treat me. You bite me. Hey, we started a series a couple of weeks ago called The Truth in Love. And today we want to talk about hating the love. How people respond to the Lord and His love. We're going to read in John chapter 15 that the people are going to respond like that dog did to me. They're going to respond with hatred. Hating the love. Let's look. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking at the last night of His life. Thursday night, we call it the Last Supper. Many things happened that night. John tells us about washing the disciples' feet, about Jesus pointing out that Judas is the one who's going to betray Him. They have the Last Supper, the Passover meal together, and the Lord institutes, changes the Last Supper to the Lord's Supper. And He tells them many things. And as He's talking to them about love, He switches gears on them in John 15, verse 17 and following. Verse 17 says this, "This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Seven times in the Greek, eight times in the English, but seven times in the Greek, the Lord uses the word hate. And it's a word that he used quite often to talk about people's response to him. That word missio in the Greek means to detest, especially to the point of persecution, to pursue someone with hatred. That's the idea behind that word. Now, here's the question I want you to consider. If we look at Jesus, who is full of grace and truth, he is God in the flesh, and the Lord said of himself, Exodus 34, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, loyal love and truth. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is full of grace and truth, full of love and truth. He is love in the flesh. And he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he comes into this world and he tells people the truth. He speaks the truth in love. He is perfect love and complete truth. And how does the world respond to him? Crucify him, crucify him. When Pilate said, who should I release to you, this man or Barabbas? Not this man, but Barabbas. Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Crucify him, crucify him. That's the response to his love, hating the love. So the question, why? Why does the world hate Jesus? And why does the world hate those who follow after Jesus? Because that's exactly what Jesus said. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. So we want to look at that question. I want to give you two reasons why the world hates Jesus and those who follow Jesus. And then I want to give you the response that we need to have in light of the hatred. Reason number one, why does the world hate Jesus and his followers? Because the world hates the truth. That's why it hates Jesus. That's why it hates his followers, because it hates the truth. He's full of truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everything that he said was truth. There was no deceit in his mouth. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Look at verse 22 again. It says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. Jesus came, and what did he do? He did miracles such as the world has never seen. He basically eradicated disease out of Israel. Everyone that came to him was healed. He fed the multitudes with five loaves and two fish. He calmed the sea. He did all these amazing things. So much so that even the Pharisee Nicodemus, he came to Jesus, John chapter 3, by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do the works that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus used the miracles to point to the fact that he is God in the flesh, and he came and called men to repentance. See, some people get the wrong idea about Jesus. They say, well, you know, people just need to be, the church just needs to be more like Jesus. I was watching a video this morning about Todd Friel. He was on the street preaching. He's the guy that has wicked radio, a wretched radio, and a Christian guy that talks about the wretchedness in our world. He was on the street preaching, and a girl confronted him who said she was a Christian, and she said, what you're doing is harmful. And he said, why is that harmful? She said, because you need to be more like Jesus. He said, well, what is that to you? Well, Jesus just loved people. He never spoke like you did. He just preached love. And that was her mindset. That was what she thought in her mind. What did Jesus preach? He did preach love. He did preach love your neighbor, but that's not all he preached. He preached a message that got him in so much trouble with the authorities that they nailed him to a tree. John the Baptist began his ministry. He was a forerunner of Jesus. He began his ministry and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus began his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same exact thing. He was calling men to repent. He was speaking to them about their sin and their need for repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And anytime the Bible talks about perishing, it means perishing forever in hell. Why would Jesus preach a message like that? Well, he would speak the truth about people and he would speak about their sin because sin must be exposed and it must be confronted. Repent of what? If you're preaching a message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what do I repent of? Repentance means metanoia, means to change your mind. Change my mind about what? Change your mind about the direction that you're going. Change your mind about the things that you're doing and the things that you're loving. Repentance is doing an about face. It's I'm going this way and I need to go this way. It's a turnaround in your mind and in your heart. And Jesus was preaching that and he was exposing the sin and confronting the sin. Now, if you think about it in medical terms, you go to the doctor and you're sick and the doctor examines you and figures out what's wrong with you is cancer. It's not that you have symptoms, but the real issue, the source of the problem is cancer. And what does that doctor want to do? I got to eradicate the cancer. If we don't eradicate the cancer, you're not going to make it. So we have to do surgery. We have to do chemo. Maybe we have to do radiation. We have to do whatever it takes to kill the cancer in your body because that is what is killing you. Now, in every person's life, there is the cancer in the soul called sin. And sin is what kills a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. And Jesus is the great physician, and so he's going to not look at the symptoms as he looks at the source. The source of your problem is sin. You have a wicked heart, and you need to get a new heart, and you only get that through repentance and faith. Because if you're holding on to your sin, you're never going to get well. If you hold on to your cancer and you have cancer, you're never going to get well. Why? Because cancer is the thing that is killing you. You can't hold on to that which is killing you. So Jesus would expose and confront sin. He said in John chapter 3, verse 20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Sin must be exposed and confronted. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, what does he do? He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That sin, you're a sinner, and God is righteous, and there's judgment that is coming for every sinner who doesn't repent and put his faith and trust in Jesus. Sin must be exposed and confronted so that sin can be confessed and forsaken. See, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You're not going to be able to be forgiven unless you turn from sin. You're not going to turn from sin unless your sin is exposed to you and shown to you, and you have to come face to face with the fact that I have sinned. You know, David had to do that. When David sinned so terribly with Bathsheba, did he know it was a sin? Yes, but he tried to cover it up. And when Nathan the prophet came to him and told him the story about the man that took another man's little ewe lamb and sacrificed it for his friend that came to visit, David was so angry and said, the man who did this deserves to die and he's going to have to make restitution. This is terrible. And Nathan said, yeah, and you are the man. You're the one I'm talking about. And David said in response to that, I have sinned. Hey, you have to expose sin so that sin can be confessed and forsaken. It says in Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. If you try and cover up your sin, you're not going to prosper. You cover over your sin and God will uncover it. But if you uncover your sin, God will cover it in the blood of the Lamb. That's how it works. And so here is the big problem today. We don't want to call sin, sin anymore. See, it used to be very obvious just a few decades ago where the boundary markers were. It was very obvious where the guardrails were and what was truth and what was false and what was error and what was sin and what was righteousness and what was in bounds and what was out of bounds. And we lived just a few decades ago by the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, anything that belongs to your neighbor. But now we've redefined sin in our country. And what we used to call sin, we don't call sin anymore. And see, it was a gradual thing. First we said, well, that's not a sin, that's a sickness. Now that's not a sickness, that's an acceptable lifestyle. And that's good, and that's fine, and that's right, and that's moral, and that's wholesome. And whether it be sex before you're married, or whether it be sex outside of your marriage, or whether it be homosexuality, or lust, as the scripture says, Jesus said, if you lust for a woman, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. It used to be that divorce, people didn't get divorced, and I realize that there are certain scriptural reasons for divorce, but divorce is rampant today. It didn't used to be like that, because we knew that the guardrails were there to protect us, but we've blown past that, and we have said in our hearts, well, you know, that's not sin anymore. Let me tell you why that's so damaging. 1 John chapter 1, scripture says this, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. How are you going to get right with God if you're calling him a liar? You're saying, God says, what you're doing is sin. And you say, God, it's not a sin. I have not sinned. You call God a liar. His word is not in you. You can never get right with God when you're calling him a liar and saying that you know better than he does. Hey, the world hates Jesus because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth, and truth exposes the sin, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So that's the first reason. They hate Jesus. Love in the flesh, truth in the flesh. Second reason, not only do they hate the truth, the world hates God's love. You say, oh, I'm not even going to write that on my notes. That's not right. The world hates God's love. The world loves God's love. They do. Jesus is love in the flesh. And they nailed him to a tree. The world does not love God's love. The world wants God's love to be what they want it to be. And it is not what they want it to be. See, God's love can never be divorced from truth. God's love is connected to truth. And so we have the guardrail. Why did God put up the guardrail? To be mean? No, he put it up in love. He put it up to protect you and to protect me, and that's why it's there. And the Lord says, listen, if you go past this, then you find on the other side, you go down a cliff. And you go down a cliff, you're going to roll and break apart. And then I'm going to come with the ambulance to try and pick up the pieces, but you're going to be hurt. And I don't want you to hurt yourself. And so God gives the truth in love. There is love in the truth. And he gives the ambulance. That's our designation for love. So this is our designation for truth. This is our designation for love. But the ambulance and the hospital associated with the ambulance, that administers truth. It comes in love, but it comes with truth. These things, love and truth, can't be separated. They are inseparably linked. The scripture says in Psalm 85, verse 10, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, you can't separate those. By loving kindness and truth, the scripture says in Proverbs 16:6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. If you try and remove one of those, either loving kindness or truth, iniquity is not atoned for, because both of those are required for iniquity to be atoned for. It says that loving kindness and truth go before God's throne. They're there. They're connected. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Those things are connected. And so the people, they hate God's love because it's connected to God's truth. And our world today wants to divorce truth from love. It wants to separate that out and say, well, I just want all the goodness of God. I just want all the nice things about God, but I don't want any of the truth. Well, you can't do that. We used to always say, you love the sinner and you hate the sin. And the world is saying to us, if you don't accept my sin, then you don't accept me. And then you're not walking in love, you're walking in hate, so I call you a hater. Listen, the Lord doesn't love sin. The Lord loves the sinner, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but he doesn't love the sin. And Christians are to love the sinner, but not the sin. And that's what we have in our world today, where people say, if you don't love my sin, accept my sin, put your blessing upon my sin, then therefore you don't love and accept me. But here's the thing. God says, whosoever will may come. But if you're going to come, you're going to come his way. You're not going to come your way. See, God's love can never be divorced from truth. And secondly, God's love can never, ever, ever affirm sin.
Huh. Would you like to have victory over your sin rather than defending your sin? Would you like to embrace the victory Jesus has purchased for you already? All you have to do is receive it. How? Repent and believe. That's what Jesus said. He began his public ministry by calling people to repentance and faith. True repentance leads a person to say, I have sinned, and proves it when they have a 180-degree change in their direction. Repentance requires true brokenness. When you repent of your sin and ask him sincerely to come into your heart and make you new today, he'll do it. That's a promise from God. Find out more about what that means. Go to fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus link for a lot of great and inspiring information and free downloads from Pastor Jeff to help you as you seek his face. Listen, the world may call us unloving when we stand up for the truth, but according to God, real love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And that means he loves you and those people you know, those who need to hear the truth in love. This timely 7-message series, The Truth in Love, can be a great encouragement and tool for you to use to share God's love. Today, you heard part one of the lesson called Hating the Love from this series, but you can get the entire series online at fromhisheart.org for your gift of any amount this month. You can also call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. It's available on DVD, CD, USB, or MP3 download, and we hope that you'll get yours today. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be with us on Monday for part two of this lesson about why so many people continue hating the love. That's next time, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to FromHisHeart.org.